So now for the main part of the program is the story of Lord Narsingha. And the story of Lord Narsingha is found in the, well, at least what I know, is found in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The setting is actually the Rajasuya sacrifice that was performed by Yudhishthir. At that Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhishthir invited Krishna to come. And at that sacrifice, there was a part called Agra Puja. Agra Puja means that amongst all the present personalities, at that sacrifice were demigods, rishis, kings, because the Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhishthir was proclaiming that he was now emperor of the world. His brother Bhima had defeated the last, you could say, challenger, who was Jarasandha. So after the killing of Jarasandha by Bhishma with somebody's help, who helped Bhima? Krishna. And so now Yudhishthir can properly perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. And at that part of the sacrifice called Agra Puja, somebody in the assembly is to get the first worship. And usually it's the most revered, honored, most, the greatest personality. So Yudhishthir's younger brother, Sahadev, he stood up and he said, "In my opinion, the best person out of all of you is Krishna." And practically speaking, everybody agreed, except one, Krishna's relative, Shishupal. From Shishupal's birth, he hated and envied Krishna. And he made it a habit of criticizing Krishna. And there was a prophecy that after the 100th criticism, Shishupal would die. So when Sahadev stood up and was promoting Krishna, Shishupal could not stand it. And he challenged everybody. He challenged the demigods, all the great sages. "No, you're all wrong. It's not Krishna. Any one of you, anyone but Krishna." And then some of the people in the arena, they could not tolerate what Shishupal was saying. And it looked like it was going to turn into a big fight. So Krishna did not want the sacrifice to be disturbed. So Krishna took out his Sudarshan Chakra and it cut off the head of Shishupal. But then something amazing happened. The Atma, the soul of Shishupal, shot out of his body and entered the body of Krishna. And everybody saw it. It was like a meteor, like a shooting star. So Yudhishthir was sitting near Narada Muni. And so he asked Narada Muni, "Can you explain this? What just happened?" And Narada Muni, he's all-knowing. He can see past. He sees the present. He sees the future. So Narada Muni, in Canto 7, explains the whole pastime of Lord Narsingha, explaining how this Shishupal was previously two great demons. This was his third birth because he had been cursed. This Shishupal originally was a gatekeeper in Vaikuntha. But he and his brother, they were known as Jai Vijay, they offended the four Kumaras. So they were cursed to take birth on material world, three births as demons. So first, they appeared as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, then as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and then their last birth, Shishupal and Dantavakra. So after hearing about this, Yudhishthira wanted to know, well, tell me about that first Hiranyakashipu. So Narada begins to explain. So what happened was, the first two demons in the universe were the twin brothers, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyaksha, he fought against Lord Vishnu in his form as Varaha, the Lord in the boar form. And after Varaha killed Hiranyaksha, his brother, Hiranyakashipu, he did the funeral ceremony because all of the family members were grieving. So Hiranyakashipu, he did the funeral. And amazingly, he spoke Vedanta philosophy. If you read what Hiranyakashipu said at the funeral, you would want him to give a pravachan, because he was speaking exactly what we read in Bhagavad Gita, that we're not the body, the soul's eternal. But the problem is, what he's saying, he doesn't really believe, like any politician. Don't trust what they're saying. If it's a politician and they're talking, it's lie. It's not truth. But he was doing this ceremony of the funeral. And even though he was talking about that there's nothing to lament, in his heart, he was very angry. He was angry at Vishnu for killing his brother. And he vowed, I will avenge the death of my brother. I will find this Vishnu and I will kill him. So Hiranyakashipu was searching all over for Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu was thinking, oh, jeez, I got to deal with this guy. Wherever I go, this guy is going to be following me. Where can I go where he won't find me? So Vishnu said, aha, he's a demon. He cannot understand that I am inside. So I'll go to that place where he'll never think to look. I'll go inside. So when Hiranyakashipu was searching for Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu invisibly entered his breathing. When Hiranyakashipu inhaled, Lord Vishnu entered and kept himself hidden in the heart of Hiranyakashipu, and he would never think to look for Lord Vishnu there. So Hiranyakashipu thought, since I can't find Vishnu, he must have died. All right. But he's still angry. He can't give up his anger. He's still angry that Lord Vishnu has killed his brother. So then Hiranyakashipu thinks, I want to become the most powerful, prominent person. I will do austerities. So Hiranyakashipu performed very severe austerities. He stood on the tips of his toes. Like, you know, ballerinas, they can dance on their toes. So he stood like that with his arms outstretched for hundreds of years. And after so many years, all kinds of insects and ants ate the flesh of Hiranyakashipu. But because of that anger, he didn't give up. And in due course of time, he just remained as a skeleton, but he was still alive. And the whole body was covered by an anthill. Now, when you do severe austerities, you generate heat, great heat. And so these austerities at Hiranyakashipu were so great, fire was coming out of his skeleton. And this made all the devatas, all the gods, very worried. Because the demigods know, uh-oh, if somebody is doing austerities, they may take my position. Especially Indra. Indra is always very, very worried when he sees somebody doing austerities because he thinks, uh-oh, he's after my post. I got to deal with this. But Hiranyakashipu's austerities were so intense. The demigods went to their leader, Lord Brahma, the creator. And they said, this Hiranyakashipu, he wants to be benedicted. He wants to become the most powerful person. Do something, because this heat that he's generating from us is becoming intolerable. So Lord Brahma got on his carrier, the swan carrier. You came in tin cars. But Lord Brahma, he comes on a swan. And how did he find Hiranyakashipu? The fire. And Lord Brahma has a water pot, and in that pot is transcendental water, spiritual jal. So he sprinkled from his water pot on the anthill. And out came Hiranyakashipu. But now he has a new body. He's rejuvenated. And that body is so powerful, it can even resist Indra's thunderbolt, which is considered the ultimate weapon. And now he's invincible. And Hiranyakashipu, he does obeisances, dandavat, to Lord Brahma. And he offers beautiful prayers, praising Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma says, so, you have done the austerities. I must give you a benediction. Hiranyakashipu said, I want to become immortal. But Lord Brahma said, how I can give you something I don't have? Because even Lord Brahma is not immortal. No. So, Hiranyakashipu, he's very clever. He would make a great lawyer. He said to Brahma, okay, I don't want to die in the night or the day. Brahma said, Tatastu. I don't want to die inside or outside. Okay. I don't want to die on the land or in the water. Granted. I don't want to die by anyone created by you. And who is not created by Brahma? Only one person. Everybody else, even Lord Shiva, came from the anger of Lord Brahma. Only one person who's hiding in his heart. I don't want to die by any weapon. I don't want to die by any... When he thought he had an ironclad contract. He thought he had everything covered. So he's thinking, I got my immortality because I've got every conceivable way to die. Then Brahma left. Now because Hiranyakashipu still has that anger, he still wants to hurt Lord Vishnu. So how do you hurt Lord Vishnu? You torture the Brahmins, the cows, and the devotees. Because these three things represent Lord Vishnu. You are devotees. You are Brahmanas. So you represent Lord Vishnu. That's why we offer respect. Because you represent Lord Vishnu. So Hiranyakashipu and his servants, they started to torture the cows, the Brahmins, the rishis, the sages. Hiranyakashipu now sits on the throne of Indra. When you sit on the throne of Indra, you are the king of the universe. And Hiranyakashipu makes all the demigods, they have to bow down to him. And everybody is unhappy. Because now everybody has to do whatever Hiranyakashipu says. And Hiranyakashipu is always, his eyes are always bloodshot. Why? Liquor. Wine. He's always drinking. His very name, Hiranyakashipu. What does he like? Gold and nice soft cushions and beds. The good life. Enjoying. And he's just harassing everyone out of complete, utter frustration. The demigods speak to Lord Vishnu. And they say, please do something. The whole universe now is upside down. Hiranyakashipu wants to accept all the offerings and sacrifices for himself. He's making himself the supreme being. Vishnu, you must do something. Vishnu says, no worries, mate. Nothing to worry. I'm fully aware of Hiranyakashipu and the benedictions Brahma gave. Everything in due course. He will go on for some time, but he will make one mistake. Like those of you may have studied in school, Shakespeare. So in all of Shakespeare's writings, the hero always has a tragic flaw. The one thing that does him in. So Hiranyakashipu also, Lord Vishnu said he will make one tragic mistake. He will try to kill his own son, who is my devotee. And that will be the cause of his downfall. So now the demigods are a little relieved. They just have to be patient. So Hiranyakashipu had four sons, and one of those sons was this beautiful, beautiful, pure devotee, Prahlad. And Lord Shiva, he's known as Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. In the Bhagavatam it says The ideal devotee of Vishnu is Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva says, you know what? Better than me? Prahlad. This is devotee. A devotee never thinks, yeah, I'm the best devotee. No. A devotee always thinks somebody else is better devotee than me. See how nice this philosophy is? It's based on humility. So, Prahlad, in the womb of his mother, was given a great benediction. During the time that the boy Prahlad was in his mother's womb, Hiranyakashipu had left once again to do austerities. The only explanation I can think of is that since Hiranyakashipu had enjoyed so much sense gratification, he lost some of his potency, because that's what happens. When you do austerities, you get shakti. But when you enjoy, it's like going on vacation. You spend money. Then after the vacation, oh my God, the bank account is low. Got to go back to work. So when you enjoy, you deplete your stock of pious credits. So it appears that Hiranyakashipu went back to do some austerities to build up his account, so to speak. So during that time, Indra and the demigods, they thought, this is our chance. Because in the womb of his wife, there must be a demon. He's a demon, like father, like son. We don't want another Hiranyakashipu. So Indra and the demigods, they were stealing Kayadu. That was Hiranyakashipu's wife's name, Kayadu. And they were thinking, we'll wait till she gives birth, and as soon as she gives birth, we'll kill that demon son. As they were taking Kayadu, Narada Muni came. And Narada Muni said, stop. Cannot do this. And even if you tried to kill, you would not be able to, because you think the child in the womb is a demon? No. In her womb is a great devotee of the Lord. So Indra and the demigods, they respect Narada. So they said, okay. And they left. Narada took Kayadu because all she wanted was to be protected until her husband came home. So Narada took her to his ashram, which is quite interesting because Narada is brahmachari. He's not supposed to have any connection with woman, but this was a special circumstance. And Narada is also transcendental. So he told Kayadu, you can stay in my ashram. Then after you give birth, or when your husband comes, then you can return. You're safe here. So while Kayadu was staying in Narada's ashram, Narada is a preacher. That's what he does. So he was preaching and speaking transcendental knowledge to Hiranyakashipu's wife. She was listening, but it went like this. It didn't stick. You might have had that experience with your children. You're trying to give them some good advice, but they're on the cell phone. Yeah, sure, whatever. Maybe you have good kids, but us Westerners, that's our experience. They're not listening. So that's why you have to say it 100 times. Or yell. Just to get their attention. So, although it was going in her ear and out the other, the child in the womb was listening very carefully. And while he was listening, He was becoming self-realized. So when he came out, he was 100% pure, self-realized devotee. Now, Hiranyakashipu, like a good father, even though he's a demon, he wants his child to get educated. So he has a demon school, because even Hiranyakashipu has a guru. Some people say, I don't need a guru. Well, Hiranyakashipu, he was a demon. He had a guru. So you might want to take that into consideration. So his guru was Shukracharya. He is the official guru of the demons. So his two sons, Shanda and Amarka, they were Prahlad's teachers. In Vedic culture, you send the child to school at 5. So Prahlad was being taught politics, economics, all the good things that we learn in here in America, secular education, how to become mini Hiranyakashipus here in America. So after some time, Hiranyakashipu was sitting on his throne and he called for his son, Prahlad, come, sit on my lap. And when Prahlad, he's very obedient, very mild, very, very gentle, he's a devotee. He sits on his father's lap and Hiranyakashipu smells his head. It is said in the Vedas, when you have a child, you smell their head. It's beautiful. I did that with my grandson. I wanted to see. Well, that's what the Bhagavatam, and it's true. You smell. It's such a wonderful feeling. So Hiranyakashipu smelled the head of Prahlad, and he said, Prahlad, tell me, what are you learning in that school that I've sent you to? And the young boy surprised his father. He said, people like you, you have taken a vow to enjoy material life. Someone like you should give up householder life, go to the forest, and repent your sinful ways. Hiranyakashipu can't believe what he's hearing from his own son. What is this nonsense? So he asks for the teachers. What are you teaching my boy? What is this nonsense? Spiritual sense control? This is not what I'm paying you for. I want him to be like me. Sense enjoyer, controller, ruler, exploiter, enjoyer. So the teacher said, wait. We're not teaching this. He must be getting this. Maybe there's devotees coming in disguise and they're doing covert operations. So Hiranyakashipu said, all right, take my boy. Be careful. I don't want any devotee coming and spoiling my son. So Shanda and Amarka, they take Prahlad. Why are you getting us in trouble? Why you talk like this? You didn't learn this from me. And Prahlad also spoke to the teachers, pretty much saying, you're bogus. And you're not worth it. So the two teachers, Shanda and Amarka, they were very careful. And they were trying to brainwash Prahlad. So after some time, it's time for a progress report. Again, Hiranyakashipu says, Prahlad! Yes, father. Come, sit on my lap. Tell me now. I have been very, very anxious to know what you're learning in school now. And Prahlad says, the best thing that I've learned, in my opinion, I didn't learn in school. I learned from my guru, Narada Muni, Sravana, Kirtana, Vishnu Smarana, Padasevana, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedana. He said, this pure devotional service to Vishnu, to God, this is the topmost education. And when Hiranyakashipu hears Vishnu, he becomes enraged and he throws the son off the lap. You are my enemy. You're talking about Vishnu bhakti devotion? Don't you know that Vishnu killed my brother? I hate Vishnu. And you're like my enemy now. I reject you. You're not my son. He calls his people. Kill him. And Hiranyakashipu gave logic. He said, when you have a disease and you don't take care of it, it only gets worse. If you have debt and you don't take care of it, it only gets worse. If you have a fire, you have to put it out immediately. This boy, even though he's my son, he's now my enemy. Kill him. So they take the young boy and they start to poke him with spears and lances, but nothing happens. They put him in a pot of boiling oil, Prahlad Pakora, but nothing happens. Then they throw him into a pit of snakes. The snakes don't bite. They throw him off a cliff. But who captures him at the end? Krishna. They took him and put him under the feet of an elephant. The elephant takes his trunk and puts Prahlad on his head. Hiranyakashipu now tells his wife, give me the food. And he puts poison in Prahlad's food. Prahlad takes the food, offers it to Krishna, eats it, nothing happens. So after so many attempts, Hiranyakashipu was just completely flabbergasted. He can't understand, what is it about this boy? I can't kill him. Everybody else in the whole universe is afraid of me and this five-year-old boy. I can't. So Hiranyakashipu says to Prahlad, Prahlad, how can you defy me? Where do you get your powers from? And the young boy says, my powers? Same powers that you had. Where do you get your powers? Where does anybody get their powers? From God. This makes Hiranyakashipu more angry. Prahlad, what is this God? There's no God. I am God. Hiranyakashipu, your own father. But Prahlad said, no, you're not God. That's a very important point. Prahlad is always meek and humble and submissive, but that he cannot tolerate. No, you are not God. God is Krishna, Vishnu, Vasudeva. Hiranyakashipu says, Prahlad, this God that you talk about, where is he? Prahlad said, he's everywhere. Because that name, everybody say, Vasudeva. One meaning of Vasudeva is that God is everywhere and he's conscious of himself being everywhere. Hiranyakashipu laughed. Ha ha ha! Prahlad! What is this nonsense? You're only a 5-year-old boy. God is everywhere. All right. Okay, Prahlad. If your God is everywhere, is he in this pillar here in the palace? And the Lord, Nrsimha Krishna, he wanted to keep the words of Prahlad true. So Prahlad could see the Lord was actually there, because he is. So Prahlad said, yes, Father, he's in the pillar. Hiranyakasipu drew his sword. Okay, Prahlad, watch me now. I will kill your god, then you will bow down and worship me. So Hiranyakasipu, with sword in hand, struck the pillar. But when he struck the pillar, a humongous sound, a sound that no one had ever heard, a deafening, powerful sound came from the pillar, and out came Lord Nrsimha. But he was very angry. Ugra Nrsimha. And Hiranyakashipu now starts to fight. And Lord Nrsimha had to wait for a particular time. So he started to play with Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu had mystic powers. He could appear there, he could appear there, he could appear there. No matter what Hiranyakashipu did, Nrsimha would capture him, let him go. Like a snake. When a snake captures a mouse, he swallows, lets it go. Swallows, lets it go. Swallows, he plays for some time. So Nrsimha was waiting for the right time. So sometimes Hiranyakashipu would put his arms around Nrsimha, and then Nrsimha would be out of his grip. And sometimes Nrsimha would grab Hiranyakashipu, let him go. But at dusk, when the sun was setting, Lord Nrsimha took Hiranyakashipu and in the doorway put him on his lap. And with his nails gouged out his intestines and took those intestines and wrapped it around himself like a garland. And then, still warring, Nrsimha, with his nails, took the heart of Hiranyakashipu, plucked it out, and threw it on the ground, because Hiranyakashipu's heart was completely dirty, sinful. But Lord Nrsimha is still roaring, and he throws Hiranyakashipu off his lap. Then all Hiranyakashipu's soldiers come out to fight Lord Nrsimha. And Lord Nrsimha assumes a huge form, massive form. And just with his nails, he kills all the thousands of warriors. Just by the ends of his nails. It would make a great movie. The guy who did Avatar, he should do Nrsimha. That would be a blockbuster hit. Lord Nrsimha. So all of Hiranyakashipu's army is destroyed. Nrsimha Dev is sitting on the throne, but he's still roaring. He's still angry. So all the devatas, all the gods and rishis come, and they want to make Lord Nrsimha calm. They don't want this Ugra Nrsimha. So Brahma comes, he offers prayers. Shiva comes, Indra comes, Kuber, all the demigods come, and offer prayers, but he's still roaring. So Lord Brahma's trying to figure out. So he sees Lakshmi, and he says to Lakshmi, can you calm your husband down? Lakshmi says, I've never seen him like this. I'm not going in front of him. So I think that's a message to all women. When your husband is like that, that's just my little thing. It's not in the Shastras. But it's true, Lakshmi did not want to go in front of Ugranasringa. So Lord Brahma is thinking, he sees Prahlad, and Prahlad has a garland. So Brahma says, go, do something. So Prahlad puts a garland on the Lord and lays flat in front of the Lord. The Lord calms down. Now he's Shanta Nisringa. And the Lord puts his hand on Prahlad's head. Prahlad stands up and offers a stream, 44 beautiful shlokas comes out of a 5-year-old boy. Now the Bhagavad Gita shlokas are very short, but Prahlad's shlokas, they're long. 44! Unbelievable. And those prayers are so beautiful and wonderful. He praises the Lord. Prahlad says that he's not worthy to be the Lord's servant. And in one prayer, Prahlad says, my Lord, actually, my first service is to my guru, Narada. Because without Narada, where would I be? So he says to the Lord, my first service is to my guru. So Prahlad offers these beautiful prayers. And Lord Nrisimha says to Prahlad, because you believed in me, you had to suffer so many tortures. You should take a benediction. Prahlad says, my Lord, am I a merchant? Do I worship you like a business exchange to get something? No. You are my master. I am your servant. There's no need for anything else. Very similar to Hanuman. When Hanuman was offered benediction by Sri Ramachandra, Hanuman also said, I just want to be your eternal. To this day, Hanuman simply wants to serve the lotus feet of Lord. He's ready to do anything Lord Ram asks him, happily. So Prahlad's in that same mood. But Lord Nrisimha said, no. Take a benediction, Prahlad. So Prahlad said, okay, my Lord. If you want to give me a benediction, then this is what I pray. That I pray that in my heart, never again will there be any material desire. Pure prayer. He wants no more material desires. The Lord says yes. Then the Lord says, all right, on my own, I'm giving you benedictions. Prahlad, you are going to rule now as the king of the Daityas. I want you to be their king. But don't worry. I will bless you that even though you're going to be the king of the Daityas, you'll not be disturbed. You'll still be able to worship me. You still will remember me. And even though you have to deal with the demons, you will not lose your spiritual consciousness. Then the Lord said, Prahlad, I want you to do the funeral ceremony for your father so that he doesn't go to hell. So Prahlad did the funeral for his father. And the Lord said, Prahlad, never again will I or any of my incarnations kill someone in your dynasty. And 21 generations back and forward will all be delivered. And that was kept true because Prahlad's grandson was Bali Maharaj. Did Lord Vamana kill Bali Maharaj? No. Not only that, Lord Vamana became Bali's doorkeeper. And then Bali's grandson, he once fought against Krishna. This grandson of Bali, he had a benediction from Lord Shiva, 1,000 arms. And with those 1,000 arms, he would play drums and Lord Shiva would do his dance. He was practically a son of Lord Shiva. His name was Banasura. So there was an incident with Banasura's daughter and Krishna's son or grandson, and they got connected, and so there had to be a fight. So Krishna was fighting Banasura. Now Lord Shiva has to take the side of Banasura because it's like his son. So on the battlefield, Lord Shiva is fighting Krishna. This is unheard of because Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. But on the battlefield, Shiva has to fight Krishna. So Krishna was saying, nah. Krishna didn't want to fight Shiva. So Krishna has a weapon, the yawning weapon. So he threw that yawning weapon and Lord Shiva went to sleep. So they didn't have to fight. Now the fight continues. Different personalities are fighting different personalities. Finally, Krishna meets up with Banasura. By this time, Lord Shiva had woken up. So Lord Shiva has to do something to protect his son, Banasura. So Lord Shiva has a weapon, Shiva Dwar. He has three heads, and he's burning everything in its path. Everything is coming ablaze. But Lord Krishna has a Narayan Astra, cold. So the two weapons meet. And Lord Shiva's fire weapon is defeated by Krishna's cold weapon. And the Shiva Dwar is, oh. So the Shiva Dwar surrenders and prays to Krishna, I surrender, I surrender. So now Lord Shiva realizes he can't save Banasura. So Krishna takes his favorite weapon, Sudarshana Chakra, and one by one cuts the arms of Banasura. You've heard of haircut? This is arm cut. He cuts off 996 arms of Banasura, leaves him with 4. Finally, Banasura surrenders. And he lets his daughter and Krishna's either son or grandson to be married. Usha and Aniruddha, that was the name. Usha was Banasura's daughter and Aniruddha was either, yeah, it was grandson. Yes, because Aniruddha is the son of Pradyumna, right? Yeah. It's nice to be with highly enlightened souls. that can correct any mistakes I make. So Lord Shiva offers prayers, and Krishna tells Lord Shiva, yes, the reason I didn't kill him is because I promised during my incarnation of Hiranyakashipu, Nrisinga, that I would never again kill anyone in your dynasty, so I couldn't kill him. But this Banasura was puffed up, so I took away 996 of the arms you gave him. I allow him to have 4, because he was too puffed up. So that's that story. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. All right.